I wanted to share a few thoughts tonight about resilience. I find myself saying often these days, we all need all the resilience we can get right now to get through these difficult times we're living in. So I know a lot of us are feeling anxious about the pandemic and may have been impacted by our jobs or homes because of that, our health maybe. And I know a lot of us are also feeling anxious about the state of the world and the elections coming up. So I've just been thinking a lot about resilience and how do we, you know, stay steady through all this. So I looked resilience up in the dictionary and it said it means to recover quickly from difficulties or toughness and to spring back into shape. So I was thinking about that from a Buddhist perspective. I think more about resilience as being able to be with things that are difficult without getting bent out of shape. So it's kind of interesting how the kind of traditional English translation is sort of parallel and sort of not. So what I've been thinking about a lot lately in terms of resilience in my practice is to really simplify things and to think about the foundations of the practice. I also do martial arts. And in martial arts, there's lots of really fancy stuff that you can do. You can do jump spinning kicks and you can, you know, do one knuckle punches and all kinds of fancy stuff. But without learning the basics and having the foundation, none of those other things are really effective. So I feel that that same idea applies to my Buddhist practice. Without having the really foundational practice of just sitting in meditation, some of the more advanced practices aren't as effective and accessible. And I think of meditation as befriending my own mind. So I like to think, you know, I'm spending a lot of time becoming friends with myself. And that seems like a really important endeavor. So I wanted to, I do a couple of vows every day. And the first initial vow is the refuge vow. So for any of you who have been on retreats or sometimes even on a day long, the teachers will ask you to take a refuge vow and it kind of sets your intention for the retreat or for the day or for a lifetime. So I'm going to share the one that I do every morning and then kind of talk a little bit more about it. So it goes a little something like this. In the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly, I take refuge until enlightenment. By the method of generosity and so forth, may I attain Buddhahood for the welfare of all beings. So that is the one that I've learned from my Sangha with my teacher, Zigar Khantrul Rinpoche. And just to go through it line by line, in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly, for those of you who don't have like a regular practice, you know, we take refuge in the Buddha, who was this, you know, very sentient being that decided he was going to try to figure out how to attain enlightenment, and he actually did. So we take refuge in his efforts. And the Dharma are the teachings that he received upon enlightenment and then passed down through, you know, over 2,500 years and have been interpreted by many, many other teachers throughout time. So we also kind of settle into the teachings and we take those in and they help us a lot through our lifetime. And the Supreme Assembly is just another way of saying the Sangha, which is what we are, a group of practitioners that practice together and become spiritual friends and help support each other through our lives and how we can keep our practice alive and apply it to our daily lives. So that's the first line, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And then the next line is, it says, by the methods of generosity and so forth. And that's just kind of shortcut for the paramitas, which are generosity, discipline, patience, energy, clarity, and wisdom. So those are all the qualities that we want to be developing through our practice. So by those methods, you know, we keep working on developing all of those things. Then the third line is, may I attain Buddhahood, which is another way of saying enlightenment, for the welfare of all beings. And so as we hear a lot in Buddhism, you know, this is not about me, it's about all beings. So there's always a focus on how to be of service, how to help others, how to put others before ourselves so we can end the suffering of self-absorption. So that's kind of a little nutshell, what the kind of the simple refuge commitment that I make every day. And, you know, then I sit and meditate, and I just feel like those two practices together are so foundational and give me a lot of positive intention as I move through my day. So I wanted to share those with you. The other thing I found is thinking about resilience, I looked some things up. I found a thing called the Therapeutic Toolkit for Emotional Resilience. And it was a kind of a long list of different ways that things we can do to help us stay resilient emotionally. And I'm just going to share a few of them, but one of them is about, it's about control. And basically it's being aware of the things that we don't have control over, which are actually quite a few things, kind of most things. But there are some things we do have control over, like our mind and how we decide that we want to engage with our mind and our relationship with ourselves, and how we set our intentions and the actions we take. So I've been thinking a lot about, you know, the kind of the state of the world, you know, the election coming up. I have no control over the political state of the world, and I have no control over what's going to happen in the election. There's a lot of big unknowns coming up. So instead of being anxious about them, I decided, well, what can I do? And so I started writing postcards. I know a lot of people, some of the people I see on this screen have been writing letters and texting and emailing and just, you know, taking out all of our efforts together. And that has really helped me stay in a more positive state and kind of decrease my anxiety about, you know, the impending election that's coming. So that's just kind of the control aspect of, like, you know, separating out those things we don't have control over and kind of letting them go, because it doesn't help to be anxious, and really focusing in on the things we do have control over and taking positive action. So I think that will really help us feel more resilient and build up those more positive thought muscles. The other things in the therapeutic toolkit were compassion and mindfulness, which I thought was really cool because those automatically overlap with what we do in Buddhist practice. So mindfulness again is like the meditation and developing that friendly relationship with your own mind. And compassion, of course, is how we reach out to others, how we think about others, how, you know, spreading our concern for others. So I really liked that they were saying, like, compassion is one of the things that helps us to have more emotional resilience. I think at this point, checking the time, I would like to break up into dyads, and our tech guru, Stephen's gonna do that. And the thing, let's do it for 5 minutes, and you're gonna be with one person, and I would like each of you, you know, to take like half that time and talk about what are the things that you do, what are the practices that you have that you feel help build resilience in your life. And as Stephen does that, when we come back, we can share a few of those ideas with each other. We can just do a little popcorn style if anybody wants to share anything.
Sure, one thing is just to get out every day, not stay indoors the whole day, you know, make sure I get out at least sometime.
Excellent.
Meditation.
Yeah. The thing I didn't share earlier that I was talking to my
connecting with people.
Connecting. Excellent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
For me personally, I don't have a TV, so I don't really watch a lot of the news. I wait for my friends to tell me what's going on.
So that's a not watching the news. Yes. I didn't say earlier is regularity about things. I noticed that, you know, meditating every day, and I have my Kung Fu practice that I do 3 times a week. And I just really prioritize those things as, you know, touchstones that make me feel really solid and steady. So just, you know, even if it's a little thing that you do regularly, I think that can be helpful. So I just,
I was going to say that kind of one of the regular things I do, which is obsessive, but it's managing the obsessiveness, is I was saying that I only go twice a day to see 538 to see the polls, but I have it as just like a habit. So I'm not like, I just know it's like, oh, I do it in the morning and I'll do it later in the evening. And so it manages that desire, and it's probably still too much, but it's not like 10 times a day.
Good one, self-control. So I just wanted to end with a few little things from some of the Tibetan teachers. Shoyang Trungpa Rinpoche, who is the founder of Shambhala International. He was Pema Chodron's root guru. And he died in 1987. I had to look that up today because I knew it was a while ago, but he had this intuition that the future was going to bring a lot of natural disasters and economic crisis and a lot of mental and physical discomfort. Does any of that sound familiar to people? So, I mean, he kind of predicted the reality we're living in. And he said that these things would either bring out the worst or the best in us. And so, you know, I think we all know what the worst is. And I think what the best is us caring for each other and connecting and reaching out and, you know, practicing love and compassion. So I just wanna, you know, encourage us to keep on, you know, practicing what's the best of us. And I have a little quote from this book by my teacher, Zigar Khantrul Rinpoche, called Light Comes Through. And as Carl said, he's my teacher and also the current teacher of Pema Chodron. So he says, when we put others in the center, tenderness wells up from within. We feel grateful to others. Witnessing their suffering brings us out of the rotten cocoon that we sleep in. It makes us a little bit fearless, a little bit accepting, a little bit willing to let go of the constricted sense of self that we hold on to. This kind of empathy changes the whole atmosphere of our minds. It is the purest form of happiness. So I just want to thank you all for letting me experience some of the purest form of happiness by sharing with you tonight. I really appreciate all your great energy and attention. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ari.
Thanks, Ari.
Ari.
Let's see. let's sit together for a minute or two as we